Today's reading is from Acts 12, verses 4 and 5. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. You may be seated.
Good morning. It's a great blessing to be able to be here. What an opportunity we have to worship God. I appreciate all the men who've led us in worship and for each of you who have participated in our worship. One of the aspects of worship that we've been able to do this morning is pray, and our service has been bathed in prayer. And it's important for us as Christians to think about prayer. One of the most challenging things I believe we do is try to maintain a close prayer life with God. I have a few questions to begin to kind of challenge your thought on prayer. Would you pray more if you knew that 60 seconds after your prayer, you would know the answer you received? Think about that. Now, we believe spiritually that God answers our prayers, right? But if you could see it and knew it and had an answer, would you pray more? I would also ask this question. Would you pray more if you knew that you would have today only what you thanked God for yesterday? Would you pray more? How many things did you thank God for yesterday? Some of us might not be able to drive home today, right? Some of us might not have food on our table at lunch. Some of us may not have a bed in our home with the roof over our head to sleep in tonight. Would you pray more if you knew that you would keep what you thanked God for yesterday? Well, certainly those are just questions to probe our thoughts as we think about prayer and our prayer life. But I do want to say that I have a way that we can measure our spiritual life. And I believe that our prayer life will be and is a indicator or measurement of our spiritual life. You know, if you go to the doctor for your annual physical or something, or if you're having some health problems, he's probably going to draw some blood. And it's amazing today, all the things they can tell just from your blood. They can do all kinds of tests, and they can come up with all kinds of indications of and problems and symptoms and all kinds of things just based upon your blood. Well, I believe that you can look at your prayer life and you can understand some very key things, a lot of markers, if you will, like in the blood markers, that say some things about your spiritual life. This morning, I want us to think about that thought and look at some ways that we can measure our life. But first of all, I want to say that it is a sin to be prayerless. Think about that. It may take you back a little bit. It may say, well, Josh, I don't know if I want to go that far. But if you think about it, and as we study it and look at these verses, I think you'll understand that it is a sin to refuse or to neglect praying. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, the Bible said, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray." It's a sin to cease to pray. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus had left, Peter, James, and John, he returns to them and he says, "Watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation." Matthew 26, verse 41. He encouraged them to watch and pray, to pray, because he said the flesh is weak. Our flesh is weak and we need to pray. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, "Pray without ceasing." And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." To not pray is to sin. A Christian is commanded to pray. Well, it's a command. If we refuse to pray, if we refuse to obey that prayer, then we are violating the will of God. Now, I say this because we need to understand the seriousness of our prayer. Prayer is not just a request booth for the Christian. It's not just where we go in and say, all right, God, here's what I really want. Prayer is not just a spare tire that we keep in the trunk of our car so when we have a flat tire, we can pull it out. Prayer is not just something we use on Thanksgiving when we want to list all the things we're thankful for. No, prayer is what we should be doing every day if we're a Christian. Prayer ultimately is about a relationship with our Father in heaven. And if God has done all these wonderful things to us, if He has blessed us materially, if He's blessed us spiritually, if He's granted us salvation through His grace, then it is wrong for us to not want to talk to Him, to have access to His power. If we refuse to pray, we really are saying we can live life without God. Who wants to say I can live life without God? That's what refusing to pray is. Or neglecting to pray, which is probably where we fall more in line with, right? Most of us don't say, I'm not going to pray today, but we neglect to do it. It is when we refuse to tap into, or we neglect to tap into, the power that God offers us, and we live an independent life when we could be living a dependent life. It's really a lack of a real burden, a real compassion for others and for God. So I want to begin by just saying and emphasizing, as this picture shows, that our world is busy and people going every different direction. But I want to leave you with a serious thought this morning. Before we talk about how we can measure our spiritual life by our prayer life, I want you to know that if you're not a praying person, if you're not praying daily, if prayer isn't just who you are, it's just not a part of your life, then I want you to know that you can't just say, well, that's just not who I am. That's a sin. You've got to take that serious. You've got to understand that if you're a Christian, you're a praying Christian. That's what a Christian is. Now, there may be a time in your life when you go through a time where it's tough to pray. Maybe you have anger at God. Maybe you've gone through a real tragedy or a hard time and you're struggling with that. But let me encourage you to be like Job. And that is, you still pray. You still turn it over to God, and you still look to God as your answer, even though at this time you may be very confused and upset. God's a big God, and He will hear whatever is on your heart and mind, even if it is frustration and anger. It's wrong to quit praying. So if you're not praying, it's like someone going to the doctor, and they're trying to draw your blood, and say, you don't have any blood. You know what that person is? They're dead. They don't have any blood. Well, in your life, if you're not praying, you're dead spiritually. You're dead spiritually. And so this test I'm going to give you that will indicate your spiritual life, if you're not doing it, then you're dead. You're dead spiritually. And so notice, we are to be a people of prayer. And the first thing that I would suggest as we look at this test and think about why we should be praying and a measurement of our spiritual life, because prayerful people are dependent people. That is that we're humble and dependent. In James chapter 4, the Bible talks about this idea. And he says in verse number 2, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. They're missing out. Why? Because they're not praying. They're living a prideful life. He goes on and says, you ask, verse 3, and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. They're focused on a selfish idea of their prayer. They want to receive what they want from God rather than surrender their life to God's will. He goes on and says later on in verse number 6, but He gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Prayer is when we draw near to God. It's when we draw near to God. It's when we humble ourselves and we say, God, I can't live this life without you. I need you. Here is what is on my heart, what's on my mind. Here is what you've done for me. Here's what I need from you. And here's what I owe you, God. See, prayer is about a dependent people. This week we're having our day of prayer and fasting. And I want to encourage everyone to be involved in praying this Wednesday. The goal of that, and we've done this numerous times over the years, the goal of that is to have where we know as a congregation that we're having 12 consecutive hours of prayer, beginning at 6 and ending at 6, 6 in the morning, 6 in the evening. We're having people sign up for 15-minute slots to pray. Now, we encourage you, it's a voluntary basis, to fast. Now, a part of fasting is to show our dependence upon God, to give a visible and physical reminder that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that we need God. That's the one of the purposes of fasting. Jesus talked about this in Matthew 6 and Matthew 9, and the early church fasted in Acts chapter 13. In fact, fasting is used some 77 times in the Bible. 30-something of those are in the New Testament. And so, fasting is a voluntary individual basis. And by the way, you can sign up for a slot. That's not a commitment to fast. Once again, that's your decision. And people fast in different ways. You may say on Wednesday, I'm going to fast by not having any desserts that day. Or I'm going to fast by staying off of all social media. Whatever you need to do. Now, the way we generally encourage people to fast is the way the Bible talks about fasting, and that is not eating any food, only drinking water for that 12-hour period. But that's up to you. And signing the sheet for a time at 9 o'clock or whatever is not saying I'm committing to fasting. We understand people have medical issues. They have other reasons why they may need to eat food. But as the day of prayer and fasting, we're saying as a church family, we want to practice just like the early church did, like Jesus taught. And we want to say, we saw the Jews do this in the Old Testament. We see our nation do this. At various times, Abraham Lincoln called for numerous days of fasting and prayer when the nation was going through the Civil War. And as a church, we're saying, we want to consecrate and pray. Now, you can sign up for a 15-minute slot over here on the volunteer table. Thankfully, we have all slots filled up one time. But we would like to have all slots filled up two times or three times. And you pick the time that works for you. You don't have to come to the church building. You are welcome to come to the church building if you want. But you don't have to. You can pray wherever you're at. And we printed out at all the exits a prayer guide that is a list of things that will help you. And if you pray that prayer guide, it will take you at least 15 minutes. So don't worry about whether you can fill that time up or not. But why are we doing that? Why should you do that? Because prayer is about being a dependent people. Prayer is about saying, God, we need you. We're humbling ourselves before you. A prideful, arrogant, selfish person is not a prayerful person. A prayerful person is a humble person. But notice also, a prayerful person is a loving person. They're loving people. We love in prayer. Do you know that you can communicate love through prayer? And then it's one of the best ways you can love other people. In fact, we find out that it is a loving thing to communicate love to God in prayer. And it's a loving thing to communicate love for others in prayer. That we pray for others, we're showing them that we love them. You know, doesn't it mean something to you when someone says, I'm going to pray for you? And you know they mean it. You know that they're going to pray for you by name before the throne of God. That shows you that they love you. When an accident or a health concern happens, and then people all throughout the U.S., that know that person, or maybe even congregations that are connected with that person, they begin to pray for that individual. What does that show? That shows love. That shows that they care. It means more often than other things they maybe aren't able to do. But they say, look, I'm in another state, I'm in another way, but I want you to know I am praying for you. A praying people are a loving people. In fact, Jesus would say that sometimes we have tough prayers of love. Sometimes prayers are tough. In Matthew chapter 6, when he's teaching us the model prayer, what's sometimes called the Lord's Prayer, he says that you've got to love people in prayer. In fact, you've got to say, verse 12, be willing to forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. In prayer, we ask for God's forgiveness, and we pray for our willingness to forgive others. Pray, he says, that we'll not be led into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. Later on, in Matthew chapter 5, or earlier in Matthew 5, he talks about when you have enemies who hate you. He says, love your enemies, and guess what you got to do for those enemies? Pray for those who persecute you. Prayer is when we love even those who are opposed to us, those who do not understand us, even for the atheist and the non-believer, even for those who may have hatred in their heart for us, we pray. We pray for those who persecute us. I've often been amazed when you read about people who were in a very harmful situation, maybe in a prisoner of war camp, or have been taken captive by some perpetrators who were very evil and taking them, maybe in a military conflict situation. And after they have come out of that, they talk about some of the things that sustain them. And often one of the things they talk about is their prayer life. And you think about it, if you were just stuck, held captive, like some of our soldiers were in World War II or Vietnam or other places, how prayer would be a lifeline for your own sanity, your own hope. But one of the things that amazes me is how they talk about they survive by praying for those who are persecuting them. That's love. A prayerful people are a loving people. If you're not praying, you're not loving. It's a measure of your spiritual life. But notice also, a prayerful people are a working people. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul talks about in verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us. Paul says, pray for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Paul said, I don't really know for sure how I should best present the word of God, so brethren, pray for me that I will speak it the way I should speak it. Earlier in Colossians chapter 2, he talked about he was in prison, and he's writing back to the Colossae brethren who were away from him, miles away, and he says, I have a struggle for you. How does he have a struggle for them? It's probably that he's struggling for them in prayer. He's praying for them. He's praying, verse 2, that their hearts might be encouraged, that they might be knit together in love to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is in Christ. Brethren, if you're not someone who is depending upon prayer, then you're not living a big enough faith. Nothing really happens until God's people step out in faith. And if you're going to stretch yourself, if you're going to step out in faith, you're going to do it because you're praying. One of the reasons that prayer is so connected to mission work is because if you're carrying the gospel to foreign lands, if you're carrying the gospel to lands where people don't know the gospel yet, or yet they may be opposed to that, you can't do it on your own. So you're praying. In your own life, maybe you feel like, you know, we still need teachers, and I should do that, but I don't know if I can do that. You know how you're going to do that? The way you go from I can't do it to the way I can do it is through prayer. It's through prayer. Maybe you got a family member, or you got a coworker who you know they need Jesus. You know their life is far away from Jesus. And you're thinking, I need to work up the courage to invite them to church. I need to work up the courage to share the gospel with them. You know how you're going to go from I can't do it to I can do it? It's through prayer. In the future, we're going to need more men to serve as elders and deacons. And we're going to need more ladies to be those their wives and to encourage them in that work. And we're going to need all these different roles filled. You know how you're going to go from I can't do that to I can do that? It's through prayer. Because ultimately you realize you can't do it, but God can do it. And so if you're not a praying person, then you're not working for the Lord. Because when you're working for the Lord and you think about that I've got to do things for God, you quickly realize I really can't do that much for God. I really am not capable to do what I need to do. There's a lot of lost people here. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. And so you know what you start doing? You start praying. Paul said, I don't know what I should say. I'm in prison. I'm going to be facing Caesar. I'm nervous. He said, pray for me. Paul was praying for them. If you're not a praying person about what you need to do for the burdens that you need to accomplish, then you're not a working person. See, a working people are a praying people because you pray because the job is too big for you. And then the fourth thing is that a praying people are a faithful people. In Luke 18, Jesus tells the story of the persistent widow. And he begins, and I think all of us, the struggle with praying is doing it regularly, right? In Luke 18, Jesus hits us right in the heart. He says, I told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. The hard thing about prayer is that you've got to keep doing it and be persistent in it and not lose heart. Not lose heart. Jesus says, he tells us a parable about this widow who continually pestered, if you will. She continually went before this judge. The judge was unjust, but in order to pacify the woman, he eventually gave her what she wanted. And Jesus said, if the unjust judge will do that, then surely the just judge of heaven and earth, God, will reward you if you are persistent, if you are faithful in your prayer. God wants us to pray not because God needs us to pray. God wants us to pray because he knows we need to pray. You see, prayer stretches our faith. Prayer causes us to put our faith in action. Prayer causes us to trust him and to put our hope and our convictions upon him over the years. Even when our prayers aren't answered in 60 seconds, we still pray and don't lose heart. Prayer is about what God does in our heart through prayer, not just about what prayer does in heaven. It's about changing earth. It's about changing our heart in prayer. And so we're told in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, a very famous passage. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Pray for wisdom, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But notice, here's the challenge. Let him ask in faith. Ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For he is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. Ask in faith. When we think about a faithful people, we're thinking about people who are trusting in God. We prove our faith through our prayers. And so we think about these four thoughts, and we go back to that blood that's drawn. Just like they can draw blood, and they can tell all things about your physical health, you can look at your prayer life and tell all kinds of things about your spiritual health. And here's the things you can tell. If you're a praying person, that means you're a dependent person. You don't think you can live life without God. If you're a praying person, that means you're a loving person. You love others and you love God. If you're a praying person, that means you're a working person. You're serving and stretching yourself for the Lord. And if you're a praying person, you are a faithful person. Now here's the thing, and I think it's all of us, it's true that all of us have to come back to this. We all struggle with prayer. It's one of the hardest things. That's where I started with. Prayer is one of the greatest challenges we face. But this is why it's important to constantly struggle. It's why it's important to never quit. Because prayer, it says a lot about our heart. It says a lot about our faith. It says a lot about how we love and care for others. And so this morning, I ask you, how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Because if your prayer life isn't good, then your spiritual health is not good. And the way you change, one of the ways you change your spiritual health is by changing your prayer life. And prayer is a lot like swimming. You can't just read about how to swim. At some point, you got to get in the water. Prayer, you need to get in the water. You got to get in and do it. You got to commit to doing it and commit to just praying. There's no secret formula, no magic teaching. You just talk to God and share your heart with God. This morning, if you're not a Christian, let me encourage you to put Christ on in baptism. If you need to be restored to the church and rededicate your life, let me encourage you to do that. If we can help you in any way, please come as together we stand and as we sing.